And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're on the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to a very, very busy San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And we have the man from Sushi on a Roll, Jeff Roberto, two-time Pokefest champion and all-around great sushi master. You can stay tuned. This is going to be a great show. This is Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California sport fishing voice on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish habit, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Want to take your catch from fresh to superior grade? This is Robbie Gant from AFCO. We developed the tools for the EKGMA process. Circuit Breaker is specially designed to disable the full length of the fish's spinal cord. The memory-resistant wire of AFCO's Circuit Breaker will not bend or kink, even after repeated use. Take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Available at a dealer near you or check out AFCO.com.
Like Robbie said, take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Check AFCO.com or your favorite tackle retailer. In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Today is going to be a rad day, man. Get ready to learn a whole bunch. Dude, this guy knows more about this world than anything you could think of. This is going to be a fun show.
Fisherman and Master Chef Jeff Roberto, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good to have you, bro. Great to have you.
Thank you.
So much to talk about. We talk about fishing and tackle and, you know, going out there and catching the fish. What about... what it's all about.
The harvest, man.
Is preparing the fish, right?
Definitely. Respecting the fish and preparing it, definitely. Yeah. And you want it, like you guys have been talking about, that RSW and his vacuum pack and just live it longer, have it longer.
Yeah.
But freshness is the best part of it.
Yeah.
Such a different world that we're in now. Like, just you nailed it with RSW and fisherman's processing. Like, you no longer have, you know, you can make sushi for the next 2 days after you come home for your trip. I mean, you can do it for the next year after your trip. Like, it's so much better these days.
Oh, my gosh. And it's so good. And it's especially the bluefin out here. It's just amazing.
Right.
And it's phenomenal. I mean, you take, you know, usually like a 200-pounder for me, it's not the best. But these 200-pound bluefins are amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, in it's sushi guy's eye. Bluefin versus yellowfin.
Oh, yeah, right.
What, I mean, I prefer yellowfin. That's I love yellowfin. I also love bluefin, but I got an edge on yellowfin. What's kind of your eye as a professional in this deal? Is
bluefin the ultimate?
Bluefin is definitely the ultimate.
Is it?
Is the ultimate. But even some of the Japanese, we call it a kame, which is the red side of beyond the belly, right? Uh-huh. So they don't like it really oily either. So that's where you get the yellowfin. But definitely bluefin's number one.
That's the top.
Yeah, then big eye. You got to have big eye. Big eye before because it's soft and yummy. And then yellowfin.
Oh, okay.
Just texture-wise, if you go with that. But yellowfin is what they use mostly for Pokeballs.
Is it texture over flavor? Is it oily? Is it softer versus firm? Like, what is it that
bluefin has it all. Bluefin has all of that.
Okay.
So if you mix maybe, a big eye with a yellowfin, you might get that same mix. But bluefin, you can eat that tail. It's just as good. But it just gets better as you go towards that belly.
Okay.
Yeah. When you
so,
that,
so when you say texture, explain that.
Oh, it just melts.
Okay.
It just melts. All that oil in your mouth.
You get me fired up right now.
Yeah, so you can take a belly, or you can take a belly piece and kind of go from, say, the head to the tail and cross-cut at that. So your belly towards the bottom of the fin is kind of your second best, and then there's one that's even better in the middle. But then you go towards that loin, the shoulder part of it, and it's good. So I say, one through five, one being, the shoulder, and five being the best in that middle. And it's from that same piece, and you can tell the difference of texture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's just how it melts in your mouth.
Yeah, very much so.
I see.
So when you go to the sushi bar, let's say we get a 100-pound tuna, and say 20 pounds of it is belly. And if you guys come at 9 o'clock at night to the sushi bar, that belly's probably all gone. And that's why it's pricey, because there's only a little bit of it from that big fish.
So that was a good question, because
I know I got you've already sparked like a million questions.
Yeah, you get these Sean and the gang over at Fisherman's Process do these beautiful cuts of belly when you catch a nice fish, and I never know what to do with it.
I know, it's intimidating.
It's really
because it's not like a normal shoulder loin, There's still skin. There's membrane. What do you do?
Just cross cut it. So when you see the ribs of it or of the sinew, you just cut it this way, right, versus cutting it with the grain.
Okay, cut it against the grain.
Yeah, because you want it so we
90 degrees.
It's definitely
grain.
Against the grain. So when you eat it, the lines will be this way. So if you take a bite of it, it'll peel off.
Uh-huh.
Versus with the grain, it's like this. So if you were to eat it, the lines won't break.
Okay.
Right in between those tendons.
So do you cut it with the skin still on?
You can keep the skin. The skin is always good, especially when you freeze it. So hopefully if it does burn, it burns the skin. But
so you'd still, but you'd cut it with the skin on and then get the skin off.
Right, get the
skin off first and then cut it.
So like we were talking about last time with the scrape, you go up say a half an inch above that, and it's just, that's so much oil in there. And you scrape it with a spoon and just,
So you're purposefully lifting, you're keeping your knife above the skin by a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, you'll see
and
that little.
And then you come back for the scrape.
You see that little white fat right there? Just go right above it where it's red, and then you scrape that afterwards, and it's just money.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we eat, right? As a sushi chef, we kind of prep the fish, and then we kind of scrape it.
Scrape
we eat before
you
get there.
The leftover's the best part.
I'm telling you, right? And people don't understand that.
So that's so cutting cross grain. So I cut a steak out of a shoulder piece, and then so I sear it on the barbecue, and then I want to cut it cross-grain,
right.
You always want to cut a cross-grain, not
exactly,
with the grain.
Exactly, so the tendons kind of pull apart within each of the
Definitely. What happens if you cut it with the grain? It just falls.
You just got to cut it differently. Yeah, and you can tell when you're cutting it. You can tell when it's really tender when you got it right.
Yeah.
In other words, you just turn it 90 degrees, and you'll do a different cut, and you'll see how tender or more tough it is.
Go ahead.
Then you get to the Wagyu stuff, the Japanese Wagyu, and it's just like you cut it any which way, it just melts in your mouth.
It all falls apart.
Sure. So a knife obviously is a sushi guy's best friend, right?
Yes.
What kind of knives are you cutting with a regular sushi knife or just a regular fillet knife?
Right, and so you can do that. You can do all that depending on what you're using for it. But for us as a tool, definitely the Japanese knife that has the bevel on one side. Right? So you sharpen it with a whetstone on that side. So there's a right-handed knife and a left-handed knife.
Right.
So the bevel on a right-handed knife, it should point upwards. So if you flip that same knife to left-handed, the bevel's downward.
Gotcha.
So which is wrong. So the bevel's got to be on the other side, right? So a left-handed knife is a little more expensive than the right.
Yes.
But Matsumoto is kind of the top brand for a lot of Japanese chefs to use. It's a family in Japan. So there's a lot of families that make knives. And usually it's if you really think about it, it's usually the samurai warrior families that have been making swords back then are still making cutlery.
That's rad.
Right? So you go to these families. But that's what you want. But it's the blade. But I tell people it's the handle what makes it more so, because they might feel comfortable for me, but maybe not for you.
Right.
So I tell people, look at a knife, but you got to hold it. Don't bite off the internet. You got to hold it. And that will tell you if you really like it. Yeah, because the blade, you can get anything. You can put any blade on it, right? But it's just that handle.
You guys sell knives at the market?
We don't, but okay. we can get them. We get them wholesale for some of our vendors and stuff. But Masamoto is really good. So I tell people you need two knives. You need the one that can kind of go through the bones and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And prep all day. We call that Deba. It's like a cleaver chef knife in one. And you beat that up. Your sashimi knife is only cut for fish and rolls. So that sits off to the side.
It's just nothing but that.
Yeah, because the blade is so thin that if you cut through a bone, it'll chip.
So I'm left-handed. I have a left-handed sushi knife.
Ah.
Yeah, like you say, they're way more expensive than the right-handed sushi knife. So the bevel is toward the left.
So the bevel
So when I'm cutting with my left hand, the flat side of the knife is going the opposite way of where I'm cutting.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so that backside, if you really look at it, when you sharpen it, it only sharpens, if you will, the perimeter of that back knife, the back end of the knife.
Uh-huh.
So what happens, it's concave in. So when you're cutting proteins, it doesn't stick. You've seen those knives that have a lot of holes in it?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. But the only thing with those knives, if you don't clean it enough or right, there's, you know, it gets unsanitary within those holes.
Right.
But it's the same concept. So if you really sharpen it, you can see it only sharpens around the perimeter on the backside of the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's those little details that you got to, and then you got to know if it, some of the knives, the handle, the knife, the size of the blade is so short, you can't cut it here. You have to kind of cut it here because it's so short. Uh-huh. So that's one too, right?
Right.
So the size of the, like a French chef knife, you kind of just rocking it, right?
Right.
Good. But you get like a sashimi knife, it doesn't have that height, so you got to cut it back here. Yeah. So a lot of that stuff. Then the length, you know, this length of your, I mean, there's no reason to have a 13-inch, 14-inch blade if your cutting board is 6 inches.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that too, right?
So, how do you sharpen your knives? With a whetstone. But do you whetstone, or is there a way to, like, do you use a honing thing in between, or no?
You use that to, like, during the day. So usually you kind of do it, and I like doing it at night, because sometimes the minerals in that stone can kind of keep in contact with your blade, right? So we do it at night, and then during the day, depending on how much you're cutting fish or cutting with what you're doing, then you take the knife, the blade, the rod, and kind of just fine-tune it.
Okay.
Like Raymond does that, right?
So
because you can't go back to the stone. You don't got the time to do it.
And that's with the sushi knife and the big knife that you're breaking the fish down with?
Definitely. Yeah, the big knife is probably more so because that's going through, that can go through anything you want it to.
That's 4x4.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the angle of the bevel that you like as far as a sushi chef?
It's probably like 15-20%. So you buy it, and what the deal is, you take it and you put your finger down, and it'll just be at that angle already on the stone. And you just follow that, right? So it's really tricky, but depending on the knife, the size of your blade, and your stone's probably like 4 inches thick, so you got to sharpen it at 3 different sections to kind of get it right.
Got it.
Yeah, there's so many things.
That's so important, right?
Knife sharpening is something that my game is so weak on, and I wish it wasn't. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I just, it's just been something that's always been, and I feel like I just... It's definitely something that I could do a better job of. And once I get a knife sharp, I'm pretty good at keeping it. I'm keeping it honed up with a steel, but man, I'm just not good at putting the right edge on with a whetstone.
Yeah, and it depends. Like some of the knives, like to some of the flay knives, it's only beveled right at the tip, so that's where your steel comes into play, right? Maybe it's just a better. So like a ceramic steel works,
right?
But if you drop it, obviously it cracks. But like a diamond steel, a whole lot better, right? So there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
You just got to find one.
You want to spend the money and get quality though,
yeah.
Whether it be knife or the honing stone.
And definitely, when you're holding the handle, there's got to be a protection there, right? Because you're sharpening it. Some have a smaller protection. Little stuff like that. Some have a little metal protection. I mean, it just takes that one time. I mean, you want it sharp as you can.
Want to cut your fingers off.
Yeah,
it'd be good.
I'm so curious about fish. I love having Jeff on here because you've got to watch the fishing side of our industry change so much from when we brought back fish. It was always frozen blocks and RSW, and then you know, you've seen all the commercial guys that freeze them in a bag with just ice and let it sit and let it not. And, you know, how much does the way that a fish gets cold make a difference when it hits you, when you're, you know, when you're making, you know, the back-to-back best Poke Fest in San Diego? Like, what is it? Like, how do we keep it the best way so that the end product is premium for you?
Right. I think it's just, you just take out what you need to eat, right? I mean, you can't take out 20 pounds and it just sits there. It gets just old, right? I mean, especially when it's vacuum packed now, and there's so many advantages with that, right? And so I can buy like 20 pounds of that and take a pound each time that I need. I think it's a little bit better. But cold is what you want.
Cold is everything.
Yeah, yeah. So you keep the skin on, and you can put that on ice, right? Because you don't want the flesh to touch the water part of it, because it'll discolor. It'll turn white. Nothing wrong with it. It'll turn white. But if you leave the skin on it, you put it right on a bed of ice, and it's a really good presentation. Then you kind of break it down from there.
Okay.
Wow. Right, right, right. So a lot of times we'll take it in the Japanese culture. We'll take it in one of the techniques, is you put it in hot water. And it just kind of sears it in a different way, and it turns all white. And then you cut it, and it's pretty cool.
Huh.
But it's a technique to do it. They'll put it, like, in tea and stuff like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, you just want something. I think that's a progression now with sushi, right? Because you guys eat bluefin all day, but how do I make it better?
Totally.
So now,
of course.
So now it's a garnish. It's something else that kind of – that's where these omakase pop-ups are coming up now, because it's so – you guys are so used to – I mean, bluefin, yellowtail, salmon, shrimp. I eat that all day long. I want a little bit different. So now you're paying a little bit more. But I think that's a progression now with these connoisseurs that – want something a little more unique, you know, and kind of more special.
So let's talk about Poke. Two-time champion.
Back-to-back, baby.
Back-to-back winner of the Poke Fest here in San Diego.
First team to do back-to-back.
What's your secret, man? What is it that makes such great Poke? Everybody loves Poke.
Yeah. And let me just say real fast, I got to taste the first one. Dude, it is well-warranted. It was heads and tails above everybody else. So good.
And that's what it is. It's just that first bite, right? So we kind of do. So what I do is I set up my team to kind of let them lead it and win it, right? And we just kind of talk. You know, we have meetings about how it should be. But we just take our base sauce, Poke sauce. It's usually sesame oil, soy sauce, vinegar. That's your start, right? And maybe a real little rock salt. And then from there, you can add your spice. You can add lemon. You can do it. And that's where you go. But it's that first bite. But I think it's definitely the fish that you gotta get, right? So I tell these guys, you know, when you're competing, you gotta spend a little bit more on that best fish. I mean, you get enough fish, say, 8 judges, get enough for 20 people, right? And then you pick your best presentation. But I think it's that first bite that wins or loses the whole thing.
Now you're making Poke for 3,000 people today.
Today. Yeah. Hey, on the radio show this morning.
On the Midway, right?
Yes.
Where do you get good fish for 3,000 people to make Poke?
Right, right. So definitely I would love to use all this bluefin out here, but it would take me, I would have to cut that like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's probably over 500 pounds of fish that we need yield, right? So I got to get 1,000 pounds of bluefin to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
But then I got to cut it, and then we had other events going on. So I have a source. You just got to know your people, right?
Yeah.
And he sources out from Hilo, Hawaii. And the Hawaii tuna is just, it's amazing. And it's yellowfin, but it's just melting your mouth. Tuna, it's just amazing stuff, and that's what you want, right?
Does bluefin make good poke?
Oh, very much so. Oh, yeah. You don't need a whole lot of salt with bluefin. You want to taste. I tell people, you taste, a lot of times when you eat sashimi, you taste it on its own, because you want to taste what the fish is, right? And then you can add that, I call it salt, the soy sauce. Just a little bit of salt to kind of get a little bit, it kind of enhances it a little bit. But, the bluefin out here is just like, I mean, you don't want to eat it from when you first catch it, because, I mean, the water temp, you know, back then, it was probably like high 60s. When you're catching it and you're flaying it, and it gets kind of flaky, and it's when you chill it to like 41 degrees for a few hours, it tightens up, we call it, right? And it gets really solid and dense, but it's still yummy, because I mean, you can have it and have a 68, degree piece of tuna in your mouth. It's okay. Yeah, it's fresh. But I think when you chill it, you see how it's just, it's amazing.
Now, what is it? Everybody always, fresh sashimi. Yeah. Let's get that thing cut. It that doesn't work,
dude,
does it?
Not.
What is it about, like, fish that sits on ice for a day or two or three? It gets better and better, right?
It totally does.
Why is that?
I don't know, but it just enhances. I think it's just got to settle.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with the Ikijime.
Muscles relax.
With the Ikijime process, I think that's what it does, right? And so you have that process, and it just, the longevity of that in a vacuum pack, even just in your fridge, is like weeks.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And it's just the color. But I think if you take that time to do it, and it depends how much fish you catch. Maybe just do one fish that you're going to gonna take home and do sashimi all day long. But I think these process. I think at one point people are gonna be doing it as a standard because once it becomes in their wheelhouse, it's what you want. Right?
But frozen fish makes fine sashimi, right?
And it does. And so freezing fish is a curing process also. So if there's any bacteria in it, you will slow down the bacteria. So it depends on where you get your fish from, right? When I buy fish, so like salmon, for instance, if it's the fortunate or unfortunate thing about salmon is the wild salmon could have bacteria, okay? And you freeze it, right, for sashimi.
Right.
So you have to freeze it for a minimum 24 hours, or better, 72 hours before you eat it raw, defrost it and eat it raw. If you get a vendor, one that feeds it pellets, right, it's almost zero bacteria because they're not feeding them.
So like a farm-raised.
Yeah. So that's the advantage of farm-raised fish is because it's almost zero bacteria.
For salmon.
For any fish that they do out there. Right. So pellets. So I used to deal with FDA, so I don't have to freeze that.
Oh, okay. I see.
Right.
So like hamachi, yellowtail, that's farm raised, is better than the wild yellowtail.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So wild yellowtail here is local. It's different. It's leaner because our waters, right? In Japan, it's colder water called hamachi because of the oil content. So it's bigger. It's like looks like a tuna.
Oh.
It's kind of that bullet shape, right? It's very oily, and it's the best. So we get it from Japan, frozen, vacuum pack, or whole. But it's traveling, right? And especially when you put it, if you have a blastula, the faster you can freeze it, the better. Yeah. So you take like a 5-pound loin from Sean, and you put it in your house freezer. It'll take, 10 hours to freeze solid, and it's deteriorating at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, but if you have a blast chiller, it cooks. So I'll tell Sean, just leave it in your freezer. And his will freeze a lot faster than my household freezer.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is a good point. Everybody always wants to pick up like I do. You go, same day.
I never thought about
Fisherman's Processing.
I never thought about it that
and,
way.
And you're really actually better off just having them cut it and put it in the freezer right away, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, Sean. But
yeah?
No, that's true, though. Totally.
His freezer. His gigantic freezer will freeze that for you in 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
And then while you're at home trying to, that bottom stuff is not frozen. That top stuff you have in your chest freezer is trying to freeze them before that bottom stuff.
That's such a good call.
Yeah. Right. And Sean did a thing, an interesting Facebook post a while ago, where he showed fish that sat on ice and then froze. Like day one, day two, day three, and the fish that went into the freezer right away was a much better quality product when you pulled it out of the freezer than the fish that sat in ice for 3 days and then went in the freezer.
Right. And maybe his freezer. So when you even a pound filet will probably take 2-3 hours to freeze in your freezer versus his.
Yeah.
Right. And then that way you just kind of put it. You don't need ice anymore, right? You just throw it all in your cooler. You take it home and then throw it in your freezer. But otherwise, you're taking your filet. Fish fresh, and you got the rice on top for travel, right? And there's so many ways, but that's the advantage. So when we freeze our salmon, we break it down in smaller portions and we freeze it if it's wild caught, right? But when it's pellet fed, you don't have to. We freeze it just for inventory purposes,
sure,
but you don't have to. You can eat raw. Like there's some of that stuff where some of these places are selling retail Costco frozen stuff or salmon. Be careful out there. That's made for cooking. So if you can smell if you can smell your fish, obviously 10 feet away, you toss it. But if you can smell it when your hand's real close, you can cook it. It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But it should not smell. It should smell like the ocean is what fish should smell, right?
That fish freshness. Should not. A fish market should not smell.
Right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times now, before, like the sushi bars would smell because we would get the whole fish, guts still intact. Now it's all that's gone, right? Because that's all your bacteria. The faster you get that the bacteria out, the better. And so now a lot of the sushi bars don't smell because all you have is the fish itself.
Fish itself. Gotcha.
Man, this is great info.
Yeah,
this really is
going to
be such a fun show today. And again, having somebody with like Jeff's background here is going to be awesome. Lots of fun and so many great questions. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. If you want to be part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. 90, or send us a text to the Let's Talk Hookup app. We have so many texts already rolling through. So many fun questions for Jeff today. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're not aware, or if you're not familiar already, the text the show option, again, you can only do it through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download. It's the best way to listen to all the archive shows. You can listen to live shows no matter where you are in the world. It's a lot of fun. Great information on that Let's Talk Hookup app. And again, the only way you can text in your questions to the show. Also, make sure you include your contact info. Just throw your phone number in there when you send a text, because if you win the big prize at the end of the show today, we need to be able to get a hold of you. And, man, what a killer prize we're going to get to give away today. One lucky caller or texter at the end of the show is going to get a $300 gift certificate at CostaSunglasses.com. You're going to get a pair of sunglasses plus shirts or other Costa goodies, whatever you want. You've got $300 coming your way, a really, really killer prize. And when we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls, reading those texts. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup with Jeff Roberto from Sushi Hunter Roll. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for the Rancho Llanero.
The ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Llanero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pockets. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-AHA. And RanchoLandero.com. It's unique.
This is Rock Cod Rick for Adventure and Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure and Camping park it for you. Check out their website, adventureandcamping.com. Select from over 75 campgrounds they serve. Decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs. Request a quote for your desired vacation dates. Then just show up and start your adventure. The late summer and fall is the absolute best time to be in the Eastern Sierra. The fish are biting, the weather cools, the colors are amazing. Adventure and Camping makes it so simple. They deliver the trailer to your spot and you enjoy a clean, spacious trailer. When it comes time to go home, just close the door and drive away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure and Camping is for you. Check out adventureandcamping.com for details. Make sure you mention that Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special price. adventureandcamping.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing for the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Well, that didn't take long.
No.
Phone lines are packed up. We do still have one available if you want to get it. That's 213-432-1090. I'm a little worried they don't see Jim in National City up there yet.
Yeah.
Somebody should probably go check on him and make sure everything's all right.
He's okay.
But again, 213-432-1090. Or again, send us a text at Let's Talk Hookup app. So many great texts already rolling through. Today's going to be a blast with Jeff.
And we're giving away a great prize. $300 gift certificate to Costa sunglasses.
How cool is that?
You can get a pair of Costa sunglasses, get a T-shirt, or you can get a bag or something like that with your gift certificate. $300 for Costa, right at CostaDelMar.com or CostaSunglasses.com.
A couple weeks back, you were just talking about that they just released the new ones, the King Tie.
The King Tie.
Those have all arrived last week. Yeah,
okay.
So we got them.
Oh, that's good news.
You were right, dude. Those are really
cool. They're really cool.
It's the most adjustable. I don't know, the most adjustable to your face. So, like, you can adjust the nose piece so that it sits where you want.
Yeah.
And then, like, most fishermen are into some style of wraparound glass. You know, you don't want light coming in from the side, especially when you're offshore fishing. Well, these have, like, an adjustable, I don't know what you would call them. You know, Hoos would know the property, but it's almost like a wing on the side, mm-hmm. that, like, where the arm piece wraps around. And you can adjust that to you also. Dude, you put those things on, and it's like putting on a mask,
yeah.
but still crazy comfortable and lightweight.
Super comfortable.
It's a different style of shades. I dig them.
Yeah.
They did a
but
really nice job.
They're really cool for fishing because of that full wrap. You're going to see stuff. It also comes in two different sizes, too. I think it's a 6 and an 8.
Okay.
And I think the 8 is for more smaller faces like mine. 6 is for bigger faces. So make sure there's two different styles. And then, of course, all the different lenses that they have are available in King Tie, too. So, but just go fit at your local Costa dealer and check it out. But it's good to know they've been popular and they haven't been available yet, but now they're available.
Yeah, they did a really nice job. Everybody was messing with them in the shop, like, man, this thing is like it works. Like that side wrap style, it just molds to you. They did a really nice job.
Yeah. So I got to talk about one of our sponsors today too, and that's San Diego County Ford Dealers. You know, next weekend is Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
So
I mean, that's crazy. And what do they do Labor Day weekend? They do the sell-a-thon, right? So the sell-a-thon is on, and it just so happened to coincide with the time that my wife, Lolly, needed a new car, and so we spent most of my afternoon birthday yesterday at Ford, and we've got her a new Edge.
Hey, all right, Lolly.
And let me tell you something. $5,800 in rebates.
No kidding.
$5,800 in rebates and 0% for 60 months.
That's awesome.
So free money for 60 months and huge rebates.
That's
cool. The rebates entailed, you know, trade in cash, buyer loyalty, standard rebate, you know, and then there's like this, you know. It's amazing.
$6,000, dude. That's crazy.
And here's the crazy thing about your Ford dealer is they'll find you. Like when I was working with Mark Wheeler, he's up in Alaska with all the guys up there now, but he didn't find this one $1,200 rebate, and the sales guy that he hooked us up with there, he said, "Hey, I found another $1,200 for you."
That's so rad. No way.
I mean, that's the way they are at the Ford dealer.
That's cool.
So the point is, if you're in the market for a new car, you know, now is the time to get it at Ford, the Ford Sell-A-Thon on right now. Even though it's not Labor Day weekend, they're offering the Ford Sell-A-Thon deal right now. So get over to your local San Diego County Ford dealer and get that new car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
For sure.
Good for Lolly. New car day. That's awesome.
Yeah. She got the birthday present.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Pete.
Hey, let's head south down to Rancho Leonero. Talk to our buddy John Ireland. Buenos dias, John.
Good morning, Pedro. Hello. Rick,
we were just talking about you.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Pedro.
Oh, thank you.
One more. That's
happy birthday to Jen, your wife, too. She just had a birthday a couple
weeks ago. Yeah, and Pamela.
And Pamela's birthday tomorrow. Tommy P's birthday tomorrow. Yeah, a lot of birthdays in August.
A lot of birthdays for you guys, that's for sure. Hey, we've got good fishing this week. You know, for the last month, literally, I've never seen Dorado fishing quite this active. Limits for all anglers for the last month fishing. And the fish have gotten a little bit bigger this week, actually. Most of the anglers are releasing all the females and keeping the males. And I'd say the average fish between 15 and 20 pounds, something like that, and some bulls up to 45 pounds. But they're just loads and loads of Dorado in front of the ranch and all the way down to the lighthouse in Punta, Colorado. And there's actually thicker down at the lighthouse in Punta, Colorado. There's just so many around. You know, you control pretty much anything and pick them up. They're mixed. You know, there's a lot of skipjack out there. There's just a lot of activity. They're picking up tuna, yellowfin as well. right at the park boundaries on the Rincon side and also on the Fraley side. And the nice fish to 40, 45 pounds and picking them up off the bottom. They're dropping iron, using squid and cut bait as well, and real active. So most boats are picking up two or three yellowfin in the 20 to 40 pound range. And so good tuna fishing as well. A lot of striped marlin are back, mixed with sails, quite a few sails as well. Again, off of Punta Colorado and the Lighthouse, good fishing out there. They're picking up a lot. Anglers that are targeting the billfish are definitely scoring, releasing at least one. So good bill fishing as well. On the bottom, a lot of barred pargo, pompano are still around strong. And the rooster fish, smaller gallos now. A lot of them around, a lot of smaller fish, but the biggest I saw in the last week is about 20 pound release. And a lot of 5-10 pounders. So I'm telling you guys, good fishing. Good fishing.
Sounds great fishing. And still spots available for the grand finale of Rancho Leonero. We're winding down. Uh-huh. We're getting down to the last couple months.
We're busy. We sent out 23 boats this morning, which for Rancho Leonero is a lot of boats.
That's a lot of boats. Yeah, and I know that there's weeks, like some weeks in October, that are already full, so you better get on it, right?
Right, exactly, you know, through November, and I look forward to seeing everybody. You know, it's going to be bittersweet having to close her up. Yeah. By the way, I meant to mention, too, the water now has hit 90 degrees.
Holy mackerel.
Wow. Yep.
90 degrees.
90.
You better get that fish on ice as soon as you catch it, right, Jeff?
Yeah,
we're loaded up. The freezer's loaded up with fish, I promise you. Everybody with 23 boats coming in and everyone limiting on Dorado, you can imagine how full the freezers are.
Yeah. Well, my friend Chris Barrick, who lives down there in Los Barrios, said the fishing is off the charts right now. He said after the storm, he says it just went ballistic on giant Dorado.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. What John's saying is... Backed up by Chris there, yeah, for sure. So if somebody wants to come down and get down there, John, how do we do it?
Thanks, Pedro. It's 800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com.
All right. Thanks, John. Great to hear from you. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
You sure will, gentlemen. Have a good one. Talk to you later.
Thanks, John. All right.
Thanks, John. The phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Rick.
We're okay. I just wanted to make sure I was nervous when I didn't see him at first, but we're going to start it off with our good buddy Jim.
I didn't see him on the line.
I thought there might be a problem, but, you know, we're going to send somebody
Jim's
out to check up on him. What's up, Big Jim?
Yeah, I heard you guys. I was going to wait a little while because I figured a lot of guys wanted to talk to you guys and Jeff, you know. But let me go to my question here. I'm fortunate that I get down to Jeff's store quite a bit, and you know, he has a little sushi bar in his market, Japanese market, with a little sushi bar back there. And sometimes I'll come in and he'll be filleting fish, you know, and you learn so much. For instance, like the spoon trip, you know, and it's awesome. It's awesome. But you know, even listening to your show, I think this is the second or third time I've heard Jeff on your show. It's hard to grasp it all. You know what I mean, Pete? There's so much info. And what I had asked Jeff one time, hey, I noticed you used to have sushi classes. But he's so busy right now that he hasn't been able to offer that. Maybe you can lead us in a direction, Jeff, where we can. I would love to come to your store because, you know, convenience wise, it's great for me for a sushi lesson. Are you going to get back into it, or do we need to get on the computer, go to a website, and find a
You know, you just need to come over to the store, Jim. But
yeah,
we just we do a lot of corporate classes lately. But I tell people, you do that.
You can hire Jeff to teach everybody a sushi class.
Definitely, and go to your house. I had one last night, so definitely go to your house or it's going to us. You can do that.
And do a
anytime.
Sushi lesson.
Very much so. And I used to schedule them before, and you'd come on whatever dates I had. But at this point, you just call me and say there's 10 of us. We're going to do a class on Friday night, and we'll do it all together.
How fun.
Yeah.
So you all eat together. You learn to make it together.
Especially even when you're catching fish, you know, you get a lot of them. There's someone within the group that fisherman or gets fish. Yeah, I said, just came back from call me, and then we'll break it down. Yes.
What a fun event that would be.
So, I got a long-range trip in October, and a couple of days after that, we're going to schedule a big party and have everybody come over, and Jeff's going to come over. And
Have Sean process 90% of your fish, keep one whole, and I'll break it down and serve your guests fresh fish off
the bone. Want the whole fish.
Yeah. It's the best. The head on and everything.
So do you want the fish fresh, or do you want the fish frozen?
Fresh is best.
Fresh is best. Okay.
Yeah, so call me, say, hey, I'm going on a trip on Friday next week, coming back. And
have Sean keep it in the refrigerator for you.
Yeah, and then Saturday we'll knock it out and serve 50 of your friends.
Would you put it in like a kill bag on ice?
Definitely.
Or So have Sean process everything and just pick one out, get a kill bag, ice her up, let it just chill on the bone.
Very much so, and especially if you can do it on the boat, kind of take the insides out, right, and the gills. That kind of cleans it up. We like to bleed it under the fins, and then you get a good color. Some we'll just put it upside down, the head in a bucket of water, kind of get all that. It's not blood, but let it just drain out, and then you'll see the color change and everything is just.
So you make a cut under the fin, under the pectoral fin.
I think it bleeds out faster.
Really,
and you can do the tail. Everyone kind of cuts the tail. Depends on what kind of time you got to throw.
Okay, is that true with any fish or just?
I've been lucky to be down with Ted Dunn back when he had the farms down in Mexico.
Yeah.
And you see these guys, and it was like
they're cutting it right under the pectoral.
Teams, one guy holds it, the head in front, and then one guy slits the two fins, and then they cut through the gills and all that stuff, and like one 200-pound fish in like 40 seconds before
it's just out of blood
and goes in the brine. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah,
and then they throw there's like five of these guys. They call them tuna cowboys. They jump in the water and they wrestle the fish, right? Yeah. To bring it to the back of the boat. What they do, even like with sharks, you flip it upside down, and it disorients the fish, right? But at 200-pound, and, you know, these guys were like 130-pounders, and they would do it. Yeah, just to watch them, it was wild to see.
I got to watch the same guys. It is insane how effortless, just like you said, a small-stature dude swims down there, grabs one of those things. They, like, put their head in the gill, roll the fish, and they, like, just guide it the direction they want. And, whoop, and then all of a sudden it pops out of the net, and the guys up above grab it, and it's on the board. And it's it's crazy to see how effortless they're grabbing a live tuna.
Like a 150-pounder,
like nothing.
Yeah, and some of these and sometimes they wouldn't get the hold of it, and you could see, like, it'd be like Shamu, right? Big old splash, and they'd go away. But especially back then, a lot of that bluefin would go to Japan. So the way that Japan wanted it is certain standards, right? And so, I mean, they didn't buy the whole boat.
Wow. So how deep is that cut under the pectoral fin?
Just a real slit.
Just a slit.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. Because there's a lot of blood running through that zone?
It's like the main artery. Right?
Oh, okay. All right. I've never heard that one before. Yeah. That's good. So, okay. So tell us. Jim mentioned it. Tell us about your shop, your store, your sushi on a roll, and your Japanese market.
Yeah. So the market's been in that area for over 60 years.
What's the name?
Kyoto.
Kyoto
Japanese Market.
So. National City.
So it's moved. It's in the third location, and we bought it in 2018. My buddy retired. So the first owner, she who started, had it for 30 years. And then my buddy Masa had it for another 30. And then we bought it after he retired. And it's, back then there was a lot of Japanese farmers in Chula Vista. And then the real estate kind of moved them out. And but they would all live there, and they still live there. And so they kind of support the store. Instead of driving all the way to Kearney Mesa. You know, now they're in their late 80s and 90s, and they don't want to drive that extra 15, 20 minutes. But it's a small 1,900 square foot store. We got a couple of suites we kind of opened up with. And it's amazing. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's just all Japanese products.
Products, yes. So it's my big pantry. So even with this hurricane, people are getting all that stuff. I go, I got a store. If we need snacks, you need snacks.
Come on down.
The store. Yeah, don't worry.
And then you have sushi on a roll. Attached to that?
Correct. So it's Sushi Roll is a parent company, and then the DBA is Kyoto, but then we have a little sushi counter in the back, and that's where Jim comes in.
You serve fresh sushi every day?
Every day. Poke bowls, we do like 500 poke bowls.
Oh, come on. I got to get down. So you just walk in. What are the hours?
So we're open Tuesday through Sunday. Close on Mondays, and then we're open 10 to 6, and Sunday 10 to 4. But Jim comes in when I'm playing fish, when you guys are on the radio. 8 in the morning, we're just talking, I'm playing fish, and we're having a good time and listening to you guys.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's I try to just get it out before the customers get in there, and then but
so you have prepared sushi, poke bowls, the whole thing.
All of it. Yeah, yeah. Rainbow rolls.
Wow.
And,
take it home.
Take it home. We do platters. We do all kinds of stuff there.
Oh, you do platters too. Yeah.
But then my guys are there. So then my deal obviously is still the catering. So that's why we do that big party tonight, and then this whole week, this whole month, and then I'm putting that sushi bar in Tahiti. December 30 days. I'll be there 30 days for Tahiti, putting a whole sushi bar. So there's only one.
You're building a sushi bar.
Yes,
in
I'm
Tahiti.
Consulting for
in Papeete.
Yeah, very much. So there's only one sushi bar in all of that place.
Really?
So this guy, the guy who hired me, we worked together at the Sheraton back in the 90s, and he remembered me, and so they got my number. So he's a sommelier, and so it's a French restaurant sushi bar. But they do a fish. I'll show you pictures when we're off the air. It's a fish market, the biggest fish market in Tahiti.
Wow.
So they have three floors. So the top floor, the third floor, is an empty room, and so mom wants to put a French restaurant sushi bar in it.
Oh,
so they
cool.
Call me. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're going to have to go to Tahiti now.
I've been there already to go check it out, and then we have to go.
Yeah.
So they want me there for 30 days, and then every year they want me there for twice a year for 10 days and go hang out.
Rad. Yeah,
that sounds so cool. Hey, John and Ranch San Diego sent a text here. Says, thanks for having Jeff on. So interesting. Jeff, what do you think about sushi from Bonito, Skipjack, and Barracuda?
Oh, all good. Questions.
Well, Bonito, one is we call it katsuo, right? And they use that for like that's your miso soup. That's when they dry age and it gets hard as a rock, and you see the shavings, right?
Yeah.
And they use that for a lot. And you can take a fresh Bonito and then sear it, which is pretty popular. And a lot of times when they smoke it or sear it that way, they use hay. It gives a whole different flavor. Barracuda is really good. So when I worked with these Japanese chefs, they would do it, and it's really bony. But when you do it right, it's just amazing.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And skipjack, definitely pokey all day.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I think that's what
happens. Like number one in Japan, right?
Yeah, Japan, Hawaii. So I think
what do they call it in Hawaii? I forget.
I think Aku.
Yeah.
So I think what happens is because yellowfin is, I would say is mild, but you get so used to it and you want something a little more bold, right? A little more
gotcha.
And I think you go with that skipjack, right? And a lot of people just toss it and I see you can just give me one or two. Even like Saba or Aji, right? That Spanish
Saba
mackerel.
Saba is Spanish mackerel.
Aji is Spanish mackerel. Saba is the
local green.
Green mackerel. But you take that green mackerel and you just put vinegar on it, and it's yummy too. It's really oily. So when I buy, my wholesale price for Japanese mackerel is like $20 a pound.
Come on. Really?
It's amazing.
For green mackerel.
Yeah, and it's just oily. It's just, Then the aji is what you eat fresh, right? You can fillet that. And
I had a sushi bar once. The guy says, here, try this. And I hate it. So, oh my God, that's delicious! He goes, it's bait. Yeah. It was Spanish mackerel.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
So they take the whole because it's so small.
So white meat.
White meat, yeah. So they take the whole fish, right, the skeleton, all that, and then they fry it afterwards, and you can like potato chip, eat those skin, the bones, and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so good. And so we did that back in the day. But yeah, if you get these, you know, people are catching, you know, mackerel out here for whatever fish they're catching.
Yeah.
If you get one that without the stripes, keep it.
Yeah, how many?
Call me up.
How many times have you been in La Jolla trying to make bait for yellowtail fish? Sea bass fishing, and you know, you load up the Spanish, and you're shaking them off trying to get a greenie. Like,
Gillen got those things and put them on ice.
I didn't know I was throwing away bars of gold, man.
Yeah. Right? Call Jeff.
Yeah, call me. I'll buy it. Definitely.
Hey, Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
I've heard a topic, I had to call in. Love making sushi. It's a lot of fun, and still working on my game. The question is, if you were out fishing and you catch a fish, what would be your process to make it sushi grade from start all the way down to when you finally decide to make something out of it?
So hopefully fishing is still good when you catch that one, but have the deckhands gut and gill. And throw ice in the belly, because that's where the bacteria is, and that's the warmest spot, right? And then you're still fishing.
Okay.
But chill it. I mean, a lot of people eat it straight from the water, but it's pretty high 60 temperature, and it's not the best. But when you chill it, it kind of firms up, kind of shrinks a little bit. And it makes it a whole difference. I mean, wait a couple hours, and it's the best. But, yeah, keep fishing. If the fishing's good, don't stop.
Yeah. Your display there, Sherm, was looking pretty good last night. Where was my invitation?
Working on it, buddy. Working on it. It's a lot of fun.
There's starting to be some commercially available. You know, AFCO's putting a lot of, like, effort into making, like, fish care products. And they sell, like, the Shinke wire to do, like, the Ikijime where you run the wire down the spinal column. Like, is that do you see that as like a benefit for a private guy like us, or is that just for shelf life for fish and somebody like you? Is it, does it relate to texture at all, or is it, or is it only just to keep the product more stable?
Shelf life and color, definitely. Okay. But I think you should have it even on your
why not?
Right? Yeah, why not? I mean, you're catching that, you know, you catch 100, 200-pound fish, you're not going to eat it in a week, so why not just, and if you have the time, right? And if you can't find it through the head, just definitely go through the tail. You'll see it easily through the tail.
Oh, really,
yeah. And, yeah, just something real quick, and you can't really use, like, mono, because it won't, it's not stiff enough to go through there, and that's why the wire.
And AFCO's Ikijimi, wires, they did it right, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, easy to put in and out, you know, with a little handle on it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like titanium.
Different size.
Titanium food grade wire, you know, so it doesn't kink up or anything on you. It's expensive, you know, relatively for like a piece of wire, but it's something you're going to have forever, and it's done that way so that it doesn't kink. You know, people look at it in the shop and they'll be like, oh man, that's nothing more than a piece of wire. Well, wire rusts and wire kinks and wire doesn't, and this doesn't.
This doesn't
not rust, not, yeah, exactly. And yeah, you know, yeah, it's a really cool, it's called the Circuit Breaker.
By AFCO. Awesome. Yeah. Good stuff.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including the catch reports. We're going to find out what's biting. So many questions and texts for Jeff. This is going to be a great one. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Low, low, low gas prices, great service, and free ice is what Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena is all about. For your car, truck, and especially your trailer boat, you need Summit Gasoline. The savings are substantial when you fill up at the Summit, but they don't compromise on service. No way. Great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean it is, the great sound system, and, of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Now, hear this. Get 100 pounds of ice free with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, soda, and fishing licenses for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear by Shimano. And, you know, Speedmaster is just an amazing reel for a, I'm going to say, a budget price in comparison to others.
They did such a good job with it. It's exactly it. Every advantage that they learned building the best two-speed reels on the market, they put into Speedmaster at a price that all of us can afford. Great free spool, great drags, really nice handle, comfortable in your hands, good two-speed shifting mechanism, but at a price that all of us can afford. Most of them are at or below $300. I love Speedmaster.
Of course, nothing replaces Italica, and it's not Italica, but it's pretty darn close.
Dude,
for half the price, right?
Exactly.
You know, and so you have to gauge. This is a reel, the 25, the 20, they can handle those big blue.
Oh, you can go catch a 200-pounder with a Speedmaster 25 today and have a fantastic reel that doesn't break the bank.
Yeah, for sure. So check it out, the Speedmaster from Shimano at your local Shimano dealer.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Absolutely every single avenue into Let's Talk Hookup is full right now. All the phone calls packed up, all the great texts coming up. But before we jump into that, we're going to find out what's biting. As promised, it is time for the catch report. Today, it is time for tuna in SoCal. And if you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, man, you're missing bites. And you're missing opportunities at getting bites. That Nautilus Circle hook comes in sizes as small as a number 4 all the way up to 6 O's. And for the big fish, the Nautilus H HD is an excellent tool. It's tough enough, but not too oversized. It's going to slow your bait down. It comes with both a ring or a non-ring. Pick the wire gauge size that's right for what you're doing. See your local dealer. Check gamakatsu.com. We're going to start our fishdope.com report with the man, Dana Worst Board Fishing. Captain Brian Woolley is online. And Woolley, this was a strange week of weather and not weather and some good fishing. And man, just anxious to hear how things went down at the Dana Wharf this week.
Totally. It's good to hear talking about Spanish mackerel and mackerel because that's about all that we caught this week. So,
Roger.
Yeah. So, odd week, you know, cold water, still 63 to 64 is kind of like what we thought. We had some 58-degree water on that San Onofre pipe day before yesterday. So, it's just off. Funky week. But with that, the guys that were catching fish just had to, like, scale down the line size, you know, make some adjustments, fish the bottom, that kind of a deal. So sliding sinkers, some dropper loops, caught some sand bass and some calico bass and a few sheephead for those guys that, you know, had the stuff with them, were able to kind of scale down. Some of the guys that brought the exotic baits, like the shrimp and the clam, you know, kind of worked out a few sheephead and stuff like that. But really not much on the surface action with that cooler water. And, you know, we haven't had a reprieve from this wind out of the west, too, in the afternoon. So it is, obviously, it's the first bit of wind, so we've been kind of lucky in that regard that we've really had through the summertime here. But, you know, it's definitely taking its effect. So even on our three-quarter days, a little bit of rockfish in our counts, more out of necessity than out of want, right? So we're just trying to, you know, roll through with what we have. Over at Catalina, we had some good bass action there along the back this week. The water there, for whatever reason, didn't take a crazy hit, 67 to 69-degree water. Flyline sardines and the artificials fished really good. Had some shots at some nice yellowtail back there. We had a couple fish, 20 to 25 pound fish. I think it was Wednesday we were over there. Pretty good fish in there. And, you know, bag fillers like a sheephead whitefish and the perch. The Fury, he was able to get out. He had a good 2 day earlier in the week. Some nice yellowtail fishing out on one of those offshore banks, 20 to 25 pound fish. They ended their day with 116 of those fish. So it was good yellowtail fishing. Of course, some of that bluefin, yellowfin in the mix for him. And then when he's been at over there at Clemente, just some good bass fishing, sheephead, and that kind of stuff. So definitely we need some high pressure here along the coast. We need something to kind of, you know, equalize everything. So we're hoping we see some of that. But it's just been funky and cool. And, hey, you know, we'll report it good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. Just, you know, that was our week. That's what we had to work with. And, you know, it is what it is. So we're hoping we see a little bit of a bounce back this week. We did see a little tinge of red tide in some areas. So just, you know, happenings of storm fronts and that kind of stuff just kind of spin through. And, you know, when you have to fish every day, you just have to make do with it and make it work. So that's kind of our program here. If you guys want to hop on a boat, I know I made it sound terrible, but it's really not. Things are going to switch around here a little bit. But our number here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can always book online and check us out there at danawharf.com.
I think it's a great report, Willie. Like you said, I mean, sometimes it bites better than others, but also great tips. You know, guys are going to go. You're always going to put guys on fish, but sometimes it's important to remember. Sometimes you got to downsize. Sometimes you got to fish lighter line and smaller hooks and better baits and, you know, not always wide open. But if your report every single week was we had limits of everything, no problem, then, you know, everybody knows that's not real. That's a great report, as always, buddy. We appreciate it. And, yeah, here's the high pressure and better fishing this week.
We're hoping. Fingers crossed. We'll see. You know, who knows?
Yeah, looks. I mean, the weather looks good. I mean, there's not a lot of wind inshore. There's a little lot of wind offshore, way outside. But looks pretty good inside. So let's hope.
We'll see. It's just that is the nature of inshore fishing. So make do with what you got and make it go. So
well said.
Right on, guys. Thanks for the time. All right. Have a great week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, let's go down to our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson. What's up, Gundy?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Gundy?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to deal with the reality.
Rolling punches.
Yep, that's what we got, you know. But as always in the surf, if it's tough for something, there's always something biting, and that's the case this week. Mixed bag. Tough for the most part. Some mixed bag fishing, tough on a lot of species. Serious temperature drops like Wooly was saying. La Jolla 59, I think it's 60. I checked it this morning, it's 60. So there's definitely some upwelling took place. and some junk in the water. But that upwelling always means bait, you know, and we're seeing a function of that. You know, by week's end, we're in the mid-60s. That L.A. Harbor up to Santa Barbara has a lot of mid-60s to 68, so we're coming right back. You know, there was a few Corbina caught, some croaker and halibut catches. And like I said, as the days go on, it'll just get better every day. But the bright spot was a bunch of striped bass catches this week. And like I said, that cool upwelled water drew lots of bait into the shallows, and with it some of these striped bass. And we talk about the rarity of striped bass and how, you know, they're difficult to specifically target, but there are times that you have a better chance of getting them, and right now is one of those times. We had a couple of fish to 8 pounds off the Ventura River mouth. We always talk about the river mouths being good areas to find those striper, especially when you've had some storms. A few more were taken in and around L.A. Harbor. There was a couple fish taken off El Segundo. These are all like 4 to 8 pound fish. 72nd place, there was a fish taken, and then a guy sent me a picture in Dana Point Harbor of about an 8 or 9 pound fish. The guy was scrubbing his boat, and he just left a fly line sardine at the dock there and landed this striped bass. And then we had another four or five pound fish that was taken in the Botaquitos Lagoon. The guys at Pacific Coast there were fishing at night for spotted bay bass and took this 4 pound striped bass. So kind of a cool deal, you know, and with situation as it is, you know, when you think striped bass, you want to fish, anchovies work very well. Cut bait, whether live or dead, works very well. Spoons, hard jerk baits, those zoom flukes, all that kind of stuff. And at the same time, you're fishing for halibut, and probably you could get a good chance at a sea bass, but that's how you're going to get a striped bass, you know. Not necessarily looking for one, but fishing areas where they're at and when your opportunities are best. And that's the way I look at it.
Good stuff, Gundy. Awesome. Gunderson, surf guru, catch your striped bass, and hey, we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yeah, I sent a picture of that to Corey. I had his ears wiggling.
Oh, boy, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, Corey's foaming in the corner on that.
All right, gentlemen, good show. I'll catch up with you next week.
Later, Gundy. Appreciate it very much, buddy. Hey, want to remind you, it is summertime, man, and now's a great time to get down to the beach for all your surf fish tackle needs. Check out surffishtackle.com for additional tips, techniques, and articles on fishing. You can also check out fishthesurf.com. When we come back, we got a lot more with Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano's Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
It's Yamaha's Ready to Power Celsius. Get up to 7 years warranty coverage on eligible new 150 to 425 horsepower outboards with purchase of Siren 3 Pro, along with a $1,000 dealer rigging credit. And also receive an additional $1,000 dealer rigging credit with the purchase of Bennett's trim tabs. Or get 6 years warranty coverage and a $250 dealer rigging credit with eligible 50 to 115 horsepower models. Visit your Yamaha dealer today.
Offer ends September 8th, 2023, subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24 to 36 month Yamaha extended service added to factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24 or 36 month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Jeet and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. Growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.